Father, we come to you this morning and thank you again for this day. Thank for this word we're fixing to open, the word of God. And dear Father, we thank you for it being taught on these premises in the last hour. And now we come again and we open it on here, but the other church is going on at this time. Bless everywhere it's been taught. Anoint in a special way. Let this be a place where people come to be blessed by the singing, but not entertained. Let it be a place that when we come because we want to hear from Thee. Our lives are full of this world every day we live in it. Many times we're caught acting like it because it seems to be the norm. Very little we get from you except when we're at the house of God where the Word of God is taught. I pray you'd help with the message today. Honor your name, Holy Spirit. Honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray through it all that God would be honored in His name as we pray in His Son's name. Amen. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1 with me. And I want to preach a message this morning that I know that's been over a period of weeks and weeks of looking into. And you see, when you read this, you say, well, preacher, this we know what this is about, but do we? You know, we live in an age today that where sin has been minimized to the place that no one really knows what sin is. I guarantee there's not a place, one in here, you can go anywhere and you mention something about sin, and there will be someone who will tell you, well, that's not sin to me. It's not sin to me. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, don't try to make what you think sin be sin to me. In other words, they think because we say something about God's Word that deals with sin, we become the one who have read something and read into it what we want it to say rather than what God wants it to say. Amen? That's where we're at today. That's the world we're living in. If you don't believe it, just begin to mention some biblical words of sin that God talks about and see how big a battle you have in your hand in this world. And now the reason for that is no one really understands sin. We have in our own eyes and behold how we look at it. No one really understands it. Even the child of God say we do, but do we? I want to give you society's threefold sin this morning. And all other sins fall under this threefold sin. There's not a sin that's mentioned in the Bible that will not come under these threefold sins. And these threefold sins are the ones who tell us what's happening underneath it. These threefold sins are the topic, the umbrella where the others fall under. If we can't understand these threefold sins of society, we will never understand the sins in the plural underneath that. If you don't believe it, you listen. And God's given me a message, and He's shown me already that I'm going to be preaching this place in a little places. This is something He's given to me that's going to open some doors. Already, if doors open, some open this year already, that I've been already impressed. I'm using the word already because I'm already ready. Amen. To preach this message. The threefold sins that the Bible gives us in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. Father, again, thank you for the word in Jesus' name. If you look with me in verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, been understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and in their their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto a couple of man, to birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use on the women, burn in their lust one to another. And interesting, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talked about this burning, which has to do with a lust rather than hell. And men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving to themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Then he lists a number of things. I won't do that today. Things that taken place that set forth these sins that are under what I'm fixing to give you. He said the haters of God in verse 30. And he said in verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's interesting as I think about societies of threefold sins of society. You know, one person said he did not think that this world gets any worse, but that the news travels much faster, so we see it and hear it more. Now, that may sound good, and it may look like our day, but according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, Paul said, evil men and seducers shall act worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it is such a thing. You know, the reason why man is worser, because it is before us. Years ago, things were put down. So society as a whole didn't see it waxing, or it wasn't waxing as well. And don't let Satan interfere with me this morning, please. Please help me understand that I've got some of my heart I need to get across. Please help me with this. I'm asking you to do it as 11 as I know how, because this is important. It's so important. You listen to me now. What we're seeing is that the internet has made everything so open. It is so natural to hear what we hear, see what we see, that we make no distinction between that which is wrong and which is right, unless it offends us, unless it hits us somehow or another in this life. If it hits us, it can be wrong. Hit somebody else, it don't really matter. So I want you to get this. I read an article that Josh Madow actually wrote back a few, and he's one of the youth noted men of our day that worked with youth. And this surprised me as he writes, and I want to write to you and then go into the message. I want to read to you what he wrote. He says, in all 40 years of ministry, I've never known a fear more dominant than the one that has presently gripped the hearts and minds of most pastors, youth leaders, and parents. And it is the fear that our young people will spend their childhood and teenage years in the church and walk away unchanged. Now that's true. He's evaluated it right. It is incredible as it may seem, when most of our young people accept Christ as a profession, it makes little or no difference in their lives. Studies show there is no more than 4% difference between the attitude and actions of young Christians who are young Christians and the world where the Christians don't claim to be Christian, or where the young people do not claim to be Christians. Most Christian leaders are shocked to learn that what their kids do and don't believe. What has happened? Why aren't most of our young people embracing a Christianity that transforms their life and enables them to stand strong in the face of today's culture? And the reason for it is they only see surface and are entertained, made to feel good, and they don't hear Bible authority teaching. This Bible will set you astray or make you mad. It'll set you forth to do right or cut a cross grain. Because God doesn't pull punches with us when it comes to our lives. We may fear what our kids are being tempted to do, but we need to be more fearful of what they're being led to believe. Now I want to tell you something. Anytime you have nothing but surface flesh, where in turn is entertained, and you think you've worshiped God, and you call it worship, and you go back into that world with no substance, Satan can mock, Satan can give you exactly in that world, in entertainment, what you've got in church. And if you do, sooner or later you're going to come to an age and say, hey, something's deceived me, because when I go to church or when I go anywhere else in the world, I feel the same way. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. The Bible teaches us there's a difference. Now, why is it it's been accepted like it is today? I know this, that when we do what we always did, we get what we always got. Amen? We generally do that. I think about the little boy. Two little boys had been in church first time. I'm probably rode a bus in church the first time. And the teachers had a little bit of a problem with them. They were like they would be unruly and rowdy a little bit. And the teacher said, I'm going to handle this so I don't scare them away and so forth. And he said, son, I want you all to sit down and keep in mind God. In his mind, he was thinking, God is watching you, and I want to get them to know that God is watching them, so they would get them to think that they won't do it because I said do it, but because God was watching them. And he said to the boys, he says, boys, sit down. I'm going to ask you a question. It's very important. And I want you to give me the answer. And listen carefully. Where is God? And he didn't say anything. And suddenly he did a little more sternly. He said, don't you listen very carefully. Where is God? He's thinking he's going to scare them, think about God and be quiet. And they still didn't say anything. He said, I'm asking you a simple question. Sure you can answer this. Where is God? And one little boy jumped up, grabbed the boy's hand, went out the door, and he said, let's get out of here quickly. God's missing. They think we did it. Amen. Well, that's about the way the world looks at God. He's everything to everybody except what he wants to be. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We spent, just a few years ago, we spent a few million dollars to save a couple of three whales somewhere or another that were stranded on a beach. To get them back out, they had to get them to the sound. You may have seen that story. Isn't it amazing that we want to save a whale? And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something wrong. If we'll spend $2 or $3 million to save a whale and then turn right around and spend hundreds of millions to kill unborn babies, something's wrong with a society like that. There's something wrong with a society who will kill a little baby and not have one thought about that life and end up trying to save a whale because they beach themselves. How could intelligent people get to the place where we are in a society as we are today? Romans 1:18 through 32 gives us much light on this subject and on our current condition. Not only can I see what Paul said there, but it fits us today to a key. It's come right down to us. What are the threefold societies? In these verses we find, first of all, humanity is trying its best to humanize God. And that's what you see. When you look in verse 21, they notice, they glory, they say, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and list some other things. And when humanity tries to humanize God, then the next step is that he deifies himself. When man humanizes God, man begins to deify himself. And you see that in verse 22, professing themselves to be wiser, and it's said before, wiser than God, they become fools. They become fools. And notice, they change, as a fool, they change the glory of the incorruptible God into image made like an incorruptible man. And then what happens is this, he doesn't just make this God equal with man, because he's in such control now that he's humanized God to deify man. What happens is he begins to go and put God less than man by making, as he goes further into birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Those are less than man. So now he humanizes God. He deifies man. And when you do that, you're going to find that man, who has deified himself, now he minimizes his sin. Because he has no authority but himself. He minimizes his sin. In verse 25, he changes the truth of God into a lie. Now let's look at these quickly, if you will, with me. First of all, how is it that this threefold sin of society is he humanizes God? And listen, you don't have to listen to society as a whole, and you'll find out It's happened today. For instance, sinful man has tried to remake God into an image ever since the fall of man in Adam. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32, it gives us that downward spiral that we see man is going, humanizing God, bringing God down, deifying man, and now man controls, not God, what is sin and not sin. So man minimizes sin. Why? Because he's in sin. He's in sin. Man wants to bring God down to the human level, or less, as he said here in verse 23, birds or beast or creeping things. Not only man trying to bring man to bring God down, but Satan is trying to displace God as the center of this universe. Satan failed in his first attempt to dislodge God after the fall of man. He failed to some degree because he didn't get man all the way like he thought. He caused him to fall, yes, but he didn't get the monopoly like he thought he would get. He got some things, but he didn't get the monopoly. And in Matthew chapter 4, you see again, Satan tried to overtake Christ's throne in the wilderness by tempting Christ to worship him. And he knew if he could, he knew who Christ was. He saw the miraculous birth. He knew where he came from. He knew if he could get Christ to worship him in a body of flesh, he had what he thought he could get with Adam. Thank God Jesus Christ didn't fall for the trick. Thank God it took those 4,000 years to come, but he still didn't fall for the trick. So today Satan is still tempting to dethrone God in people's heart. Many are influenced by Satan, but they have not given their allegiance to him yet. Now here's the thing. There's a lot who's given their allegiance to him, but there's many who's been influenced by him, has not given their allegiance to Satan completely yet, because they're straddling the fence, not know which way to go. And it's a possibility that the gospel can reach those people if we'll get it to them. But if not, sooner or later, they will go with their allegiance to Satan. Because he's the only thing that looks real unless the gospel is presented to show that he is not real. And that gives the church this great responsibility that God has given us. Satan is still trying to dethrone God. Now, each angel is responsible for their fall. Every angel individually is responsible. They chose to follow Satan, Lucifer. They made that choice, and once the choice was made, they were sealed. They cannot blame Satan for their choice. Now, the difference between you and I is we were born fallen. We were born because our federation hit Adam fell. We received his nature. Therefore, we are sinners by choice, by practice, and by nature. Thank God the blood can hold and protect us when we're innocent. But there comes a time we move out of innocent to accountability. So we're born fallen. Satan then influences us to stay fallen, while Christ offers restoration. Christ has offered us restoration. We don't have to stay in a fallen condition. We don't have to stay fallen of Satan. We can be restored. And Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for that, you see. So say sinful man is trying to make God lower into his remake God. Satan tries to displace God. And today, fallen man has teamed up with Satan in a joint effort to get God off the throne. How do I know that? Because you can believe any God you want to. But ladies and gentlemen, there can't be but one. They can believe any God. Go across this earth. Go to any continent. You can talk about any God. And people amazes me if you don't believe the same God. But there can't be but one. Now, fallen man is tempted, is teamed up with Satan in a joint effort to get God off the throne. And his strategy today is to create lies to replace truth. So this been the Word of God? It's not. It contains the Word of God. For instance, evolution is just another way to try to get rid of God. Hey, if you believe in evolution, then you've got rid of God in your mind. Because it's either God, or it's the process of evolution, or some other mess. I'm glad I got that settled years ago. It's God. Where do you get that, preacher? From God's Word. Evolution is just another way to get rid of God. Or at least get him down to where man thinks he can handle him. Get him down on man's level and you think you can handle him. And that's what the world means. Surely my God that I'm trusting in don't have to agree with you. I'm right as much as you feel you're right. So man tries to remake God. Satan tries his best to dislodge him. And fallen man now is teamed up with him. So what happens? The team up, there's attack on the Bible, which is another attempt to dethrone God. Either this is God's word, or we don't have it. And I don't mind who hears me say that. We don't have it. Denying, you see, denying his birth, denying the miracles, denying his standards, denying his laws is nothing more than form of humanizing God. If God had set forth his birth was miraculous, if he set forth his miracles were miraculous, and suddenly you began to explain those away, it's taken a great, wonderful, gigantic God and bring him to the level of man. And said, I don't care what he said he did. I don't care what he said he's going to do. I don't believe it. And so therefore, I'm as equal to him or above. They stripped him of his attributes. Man reduced God to a passive, non-threatened deity. God's perfect character is denied by guilty, imperfect people. Which in turn, if God is humanized, then that helps their guilt. Because if they're the authority, they don't have to stand before one who is the authority. They judge themselves. Now, many sermons are preached on Christ's teaching today. They're preached on resurrection and certain things about that sound good to the ears, which are everybody enjoys hearing. When have you heard a message about the wrath? Because you have here, but about the wrath of God, the judgment of God. When have you heard a message that had to deal with the place of departed spirits who don't know Jesus Christ? In this world, there are some places, thank God, but there's a lot more that deny it. Most people look at the day. Popular preaching today, hear me. Popular preaching today is therapeutic preaching. It's not prophetic preaching. It's not doctrinal preaching. Most people today, when they hear the word of God, have a mental image of a giant smiling grandfather up in heaven. In Matthew chapter 10, turn there with me please, in verse 28. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 28, Jesus said this, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's pretty plain, isn't it? For man to try to eliminate the fear of God is just another way to make him tolerable. If you go with me to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 24, and see the Apostle Paul preaching. And in Acts chapter 24, down about verse 25, the latter part of verse 24, this is not therapeutic preaching. I want you to get your eyes on this now. Paul's before Felix, the highest of the land at that place, at that time, though he's not the highest overall, but he's there at this time. And verse 24 at the end of that said that again he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And Paul gave him a therapeutic message. Felix, God's got within you the goodness that he wants you to let him bring it out. Felix, God really, already programming you is something that God wants you to understand. No, I don't see that at all here. And Paul, reason of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, that even Felix, the high person that he was in the government, trembled. And he answered, "Go thy way for this time. And I have convenient season, I'll call for." He trembled in his boots, so to speak. God's word, God honored. So this man would realize he may have power, but there's a power that Paul's talking about makes him tremble, even though he can't see him. He can't see him, you see. When we eliminate the fear of God, conviction of sin becomes a rare thing. So man humanizes God. Most people think that they can get away with deceitfulness and slander and stealing and adultery and unfaithfulness. They feel that God has told a fable. that what we say God says is our opinion, not really resources, because they read the Bible, they didn't get that out of it, or someone is interpreting the Bible wrong. See, all of this is man trying to humanize God. And by the way, if God sets something in this book and you're not willing to comply by it, you're doing the same thing, and so am I. When God sets something in this book, I don't care if it's in the home, I don't care if it's with children, husband and wives, I don't care if it's with job, wherever it is, when God gives us information and we refuse to listen, all we're doing is humanizing God and suddenly trying to raise ourselves up, because it doesn't matter what God says to anybody else, I'm going to do what I please. That's the mentality of this society we're living in today. And that leads to the second fold of sin of society. Man deifies himself. He professes himself to be wise, verse 22, and becomes a fool. See, the object is no longer the worship of God, but man. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Fallen man seeks to bring God to his level and exalt man to God's level. Years ago, and I heard this said myself, years ago, a so-called scholar. No, I'm sorry, I read this one. Another one, a few minutes, I heard him say. He said, this scholar said, by the year 2000, and did you know this was written back a few years in the last century? He said, by the year 2000, we will have taught our children to believe in themselves, not God. Well, I've got news for you. 2000 has come and gone, and it proved him a lie. There are some still who believe in God. There's a lot more who believe in themselves, but they believe in God. It's interesting. Self-exaltation is not new. It's as old as Satan himself. You remember when Satan stood before God in Isaiah, the Bible tells us, in 14 he said, I'll ascend unto the heaven, I exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregations in the sight of heaven. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's as old as Satan himself. Man says, I'm a master of my soul. I'll do what I want to do. I have you to know, I'm my own man. Man says, no deity would save us. We have to save ourselves. And so we spend millions of dollars trying to extend life in our society. They say, we have technology of our day. And I read an article recently. We are more wise today. We can control our environment. We can conquer poverty. We can reduce disease. We can modify our behavior. We have open opportunity for achieving abundance and meaningful life. We can extend our lives. One article said that we can extend to be 100 within just the next few years. And it's a possibility one of these days we find enough about this body that man has the ability to extend to live for hundreds of years. Maybe forever. It's sad, but it's true. Such thinking has found a way among professing Christians too. Because we don't see the need to obey God to try to win people to the Lord. I never win another person, but I'm not going to stop trying. Because God said, do it. God said, do it. Evil is no longer sin. It's a lack of success or happiness. You're not happy? Well, that's evil. You're not successful? That's evil. But it's not, you don't look at it as evil being sin. One TV preacher, and this is one I was going to tell you I heard. I heard a television preacher say this. That the worst thing that you could ever do is to tell someone that they're a sinner. Well, tear Romans 3:23 out of the Bible then. Because it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the way, there's a lot of other verses that show us that too. In other words, he's saying exactly opposite what God says. Another one said, we're little gods in our own way to sovereignty. This leads us to self-worship, which will not allow for guilt because before a holy God. So the self-made person does away with the need of repentance in humanity. And when you do away with the need of repentance, pride sets in. It lifts us up. You may need to repent, but I don't. Not me. I know where I'm at, where I'm standing, and what I'm doing. You see, pride is not just thinking that we're better than anyone else. That's how we classify it. Pride is thinking that we are better than we are. It's not that someone says he's proud because he thinks he's better than him. No, sir. Pride is not just that. Pride is thinking that one is better than they really are. And a man thinks he's pretty good, pretty well off if he thinks he don't need a Savior. He has been deceived. I know he's going to be very quiet this morning. But folks, this is needed for our age. I'll be honest with you. This threefold sin is the cause of all the sins that's underneath in this hour. We're not just good people who just happen to do some bad things. Outside of Jesus Christ, one is a sinner headed towards judgment. John 3:36, as if he's already there. It's hanging over his head. Read it. Not just that fact we, good people, have done some bad things. So these threefold sins of society where all other sins fall under is, first one is, man humanizes God, and when he does that, he deifies himself. And he becomes the authority. And what happens, once he humanizes God, and then suddenly deifies himself, or God is here, and he's here, then he minimizes his sin. Well, how do you do that? Because the vision of God has faded. Sin does not appear exceedingly sinful. What you see in verse 29 and 30 don't see nothing like just a bunch of words. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, haters of God, despitefully, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And boy, we're in that age today. Disobedient to the parents, without understanding. They don't understand. Covenant breakers, without natural affections. Everything is unnatural. Everything is against what God said. God gives natural affection for reproducing. We come along and we create unnatural affections and burn in incest of our heart towards those things, you see. When you humanize God, you actually deify man. How is sin minimized then? Once you do that, once this ratio, humanize God, deify man, and then sin is minimized. Let me give you some examples. How is it? Well, preacher, nobody's perfect. I know that. Don't you know that? Anybody here don't know that? Nobody's perfect. Amen to that. But let me remind you, though that's true, it does not mean you cannot live for God. It doesn't mean that God can't give us information and empower to live for God. Man accepts sin is normal, so we accept words like shortcoming. And that was a failure. Well, that was a mistake. That was a weakness. These are catchwords that we use to replace where God calls out sin. Such words blunt the severity of sin, makes it not as bad. By the way, folks, I've got news for you. If sin is not as bad as God said it was, Jesus would never have to die to pay for it. Midlife crisis is the new word for adultery. Well, what's the matter? Well, this family's been married, 25, 35 years. What happened? Well, he had a midlife crisis. No, he just committed adultery. Well, she had a midlife crisis. Now, there is such a thing as a midlife crisis. Believe me, I preach messages on that. I've been through it. There is. Women have them. Used to think men didn't have them. Men have midlife crisis. The only thing about it is that doctors have diagnosed women and tell you why. They didn't diagnose men as of yet. And God tells all the lines all the time and showing us when we go through that, there's a remedy for it. He has answers for it. Selfishness and jealousy are camouflage for being what you want to be. Rather than sin being sin, each individual determines how much sin really offends them rather than God and His Word. In other words, if this doesn't offend me, God said it. If it don't offend me, that means God's wrong and I'm right because I'm not offended. But sure, if it was wrong, God would offend me. You ever someone say, you know what, I don't understand, but I believe loving this person is so good. If it weren't God's will, I wouldn't love this person as much. That's a cop-out for fleshly attraction. I love you, preacher. I thank you. Thank you, Brother Anderson. Amen. I'm trying my best. Lord, help me with the message. Because this is something I believe is needed for our aid to get us, to wake us, to show us where we're at. They judge according to self rather than truth. Listen to me. When you come to worship God, folks, listen to me. He ought to be honored. You walk in His presence, and this is His building. Daddy, whether you realize it or not, His presence is here when we come together. We might not allow Him to influence us much, but He's here. This building has been dedicated for that. And it ought to make us realize, Lord, I may not like Preacher Ennis, and I may not like the deacon, I may not like some of the things they sing, but I know this, Your Word is an important thing. When I go there, I'm in the presence of God. And I want to tell you something, you ought to honor Him the way you dress, the way you talk. A male want to be a male, a female want to be a female, because that's the way God made us. That's what it ought to be. No male should try to be a female, no female should try to be a male. Because right here's what happens in Romans when that happens. They change the truth into a lie. And men burnt in their lust towards others and so forth. You get in a lot of trouble nowadays. By the way, it's coming soon. It's going to come soon that anyone who preaches this will be locked up. Because our society is fixed to change a rule where you can't do that. You don't believe that? Mark it. Listen, I may not be alive, but the Lord don't come back. Mark it down. You will not be able to preach against sins like that in the future without being locked up or at least taken to court. We're living in that age. The judge, according to self, they judge rather than truth. Someone said, what you do is between you and God. And I agree with that. You look at it when it believes that. But I'll say it affects others in public. And that's where we're ambassadors. I like what A.W. Torres said years ago. He said before he died, I've seen a lot of terrible things in my 63 years, and I quote for him, but the most wicked thing I've ever seen was my own heart. And I look in Romans 7, what Paul said, and you have to say amen to that. Only by the grace of God can we get out of that. The concept of God as our judge is replaced with God as our servant. We minimize sin. Now God is not my judge, but He's my servant. He's the one. Benefits of Christianity are emphasized with no reference to judgment. All I got to do is just name it and claim it. And boy, I don't care if I'm living in sin. I can be living so I don't even have to be married. Just name it and claim it. Boy, I want to tell you, when God... Listen, Satan has deceived so many people. Folks, God does not hear a heart in prayer except save my soul when there's sin there. He said sin separates us. And you see, God is so humanized, man is so deified, that He's minimized sin, that they say they can live any way they want to, disobey God, go against God, and still God loves them, and He does, to give them the gospel. Die without Jesus Christ, though, and there is no hope. To downplay sin puts the church in a lukewarmness. The Laodicean age was totally unaware of their sorrow state. You read Revelation and you find the Laodicean church didn't even realize the sorry state they were in. They said, we have everything. We need nothing. Go read that last church that God talked through His Son Jesus addressed in the book of Revelation. It is bad. Listen to me. It is bad to be full of faults. But it's worse to be full of faults and unwilling to recognize them. And that's what the Laodicean church is. Have all the faults and not recognize them. This is why preachers must communicate God's vision to a guilty society. We don't need therapeutic preaching. We need Bible preaching. Now, that can be therapeutic classes at times for places to help people in certain subjects and so forth. But God's Word, God's church is brought for the purpose of teaching for us to hear something from God. And if I challenge you, read verse 18 through 32 slowly and let God speak to your heart. And you can't get out of this that God, there's some things God don't care much for. All there is to it. Multitudes are slipping badly into eternal damnation while the church sleeps because of therapeutic preaching. If sin is not dealt with here, God says, I'm going to deal with it later. I'm going to deal with it there. for the child of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that'd be judged according to how we served him for rewards. But if you look at Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, you also, it's much better to deal with sin now by Christ than have to deal with it in that day as God puts judgment on sin. Read Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. So I submit to you, all the problems in this world that man faces as far as sin is concerned, ladies and gentlemen, is under the threefold sin of society. Man is trying to humanize God. And why he's doing that, he didn't realize he's deifying himself. And what happened, he'll come to a level, here man is, and here God is. I'll put it this way, here man is, and here God is, putting it on the right hand. And he bring God down to man. And then suddenly, he'll be looking at beasts, birds, creeping things. Once you get him below man, then man deifies himself. Now, who's in authority here? God wants to be in authority. But he deifies himself. So now sin is minimized. Anything goes. It becomes norm in society. Hey, I don't know, many of you are older than I am, I remember a time that, you know, we knew sin's around, but society as a whole put it down. It's not put down anymore. It's not put down anymore. Man tries to humanize God. Then he deifies himself to bring God out to our level, to control him. And then this rises us up beyond that level, and then he minimizes sin. To be exalted to God's level is to be equal in authority with God. Therefore, whatever God said, I have the right to understand. Don't say that to me. It may say it to you. Don't say that to me. Don't say it to you. And so we begin to look at the Bible, rewrite the Bible to fit our place. They tell me now they have a Bible that is written for the homosexual church. You know what's not in that, don't you? Or if it has, it's been rewritten somehow or another. Or somebody has written something for that. I don't know if it's a complete Bible or not, but certainly written for that. This is the age we are living in. And it helps us understand why things. It helps me understand Romans 7, why I do what I do and not do. Because I have to realize, God forbid, in all the problems I have, I keep talking about being tempted, being tried, all the problems that I have in this life, God forbid that I ever humanize God and raise myself to a level of deity. Because I or anyone else who would do that, the moment we raise ourselves above the authority of God and what he says, we'll minimize sin. Sin has no more sting to it. It has no more guilt to it. And suddenly you have a society of people religiously have no guilt whatsoever. And one day it'll be too late. If you're here this morning and don't know Jesus as your Savior, he loves you. He died for you. He came to pay the sin debt for you. The sin debt that he cries from Genesis to Revelation need to be paid. That you could have life. I beg of you, don't walk out of here today unsaved if you're not saved. And we who are here, help us say, Lord, let me analyze wherever I'm at in this lower part with this depraved nature and yet the new nature. Let the new nature take over, that in my problems I have, until I get the glorified body where I can handle much better than I can here because of the society I live in. Never let me humanize God, because the very moment I do that, I deify myself. And the next thing I'll begin to do is minimize sin. And that will bring the judgment of God. Stand to your feet, please. Father in heaven, please bless what's been said. Bless your people. Lord, messages are not given to hurt people. They're given to bless. Doctrine is important for our day to understand the day we're living in. To understand, these people can take this book and go home and read these verses, and there's much God will say to their heart about this life. Please help this morning as this is heard on the radio, to help someone who's struggling spiritually, struggling with some sin and don't understand why I can't get rid of this thing. Why is it so dominant on me? What is going on now? To understand every sin in life falls under one of these threefold sins of society. We either begin to humanize God and we'll get to a level where it deifies ourselves as man. And once we ever raise ourselves to say, I don't believe God said this, when he did say it. I don't believe God meant this when he did mean it. We'll start minimizing our sin. And that's how the world waxes worse and worse and worse. Paul knew what was happening when he talked to Timothy. Because man humanizes God, deifies himself, and minimizes his sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.